Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday afternoon. This is Average Joe for Average Joe Radio. Man, thank you for joining us. I've been on furlough for a couple of weeks and or episodes. We've been dropping you a few videos here and there on Average Joe Radio Facebook page and just telling you about our travels. Put it this way, don't believe everything you hear, but we really have been doing some stuff above Average Joe and myself, and we just needed to get out of the house for a while and go out and, you know, see some of the rest of the planet. This day in history, 1892, Lizzie Borden's parents found dead. Now, I think most of you, at least in my age group, have heard of Lizzie Borden. If you remember the little song or rhyme or whatever. Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. That was actually made. I'll tell you a little bit about it here in a minute, just in case you hadn't or are not familiar with the story. But there was actually at least two movies made about that. I think they were made for TV movies. First time, Elizabeth Montgomery played the part of Lizzie, and the second time, the most recent film was Christina Ricci played the part. But Andrew and Abby Borden are found on this day in 1892 are found hacked to death in their Fall River, Massachusetts home. Andrew was discovered in a pool of blood on the living room couch, his face nearly split in two. Abby was upstairs, her head smashed to pieces. It was later determined that she was killed first. Suspicion soon fell on one of the Borden's two daughters, Lizzie, age 32 and single, who lived with her wealthy father and stepmother and was the only other person besides the maid, Bridget Sullivan, who was home at the time when the bodies were found. Lizzie was arrested and charged with a double homicide, and as a result of the crime's sensational nature, her trial attracted national attention. Andrew Borden was born July 19, 1860. Her mother died when Lizzie was a young girl, and her father, who became a bank president, successful businessman, married Abby Gray, who helped raise Lizzie and her older sister, Emma. I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but the bottom line was she was acquitted. There was most of the evidence was circumstantial, or I guess it was all circumstantial. But the thing was they used fingerprint technology in that time. It was a brand new thing, but the law enforcement just didn't trust it enough to compare it to do the print thing, you know, with the blood on the axe and all that good stuff. So that kind of puzzles me. You know, they could have, but anyway, people pretty much still believe she's the one that did it. So anyway, let's move on. Album of the week. I hadn't done an album in the week in a while, but I have a reason for doing this. Reba McEntire, Stronger Than the Truth. It's her brand new album, and I'm gonna talk about Reba here in a little bit because that's kind of some of our subject matter today. So this is the Life Experience episode, and let me go ahead and give you the call-in number, 914-219-0884. And when I say life experience, I mean just some stuff that Above Average Joe and I have been doing. And that number again is 914-219-0884. Operators are not standing by. But we took a little furlough, And if you've seen some of my videos on the Facebook Average Joe Facebook page, I gave you a little bit of truth and a little bit of not so much. one of the videos that I have put out there, I said I was in Vienna, and you know, most of us think of the other side of the pond when we think about Vienna and Italiano. But I was in Vienna, Virginia, and the reason I was there was happens to be where the Reba McEntire concert was. I had been wanting to do something special for Above Average Joe for a while, and I was just thinking, I had been thinking for a bit that I know she's a huge Reba McEntire fan, and she's never seen her. But she's probably got all of her albums, at least most of them. I know she got the one that she just released because she bought it at the concert. But we went anyway. I bought the tickets a while back, and at this place called Wolf Track. And it's actually at a federal park in Vienna, Virginia, a place I'd never heard of before, but it's a real cool venue. It's the stage and about 4,000 or so seats are inside, or it may be 3,000, I don't know, are inside, but it's still open. And then the rest of the seating is outside, and people basically sit in the yard, and, you know, it's kind of a slanted yard, and it's the yard seats are like first come, first serve. So there's always a big crowd there, you know, when it's time to let everybody in. But we were living large, and we got actual seats inside of the venue, and but I had bought the tickets or ordered them, and on Mother's Day, I gave them to Above Average Joe, and so she was excited about that. So we went, I'm getting ahead of myself because we actually did something else first, but I'll go ahead and tell you about this, and then we'll go back. We drove up to Fairfax, Virginia, and spent the night there because there actually was some hotels in Vienna, but I just didn't do a very good job of finding them on the internet. But we were still only like 7 miles away, so, you know, I was in the neighborhood. So we stayed at the Grand Holiday Inn Express with continental breakfast. And so we drove up on Saturday, the day before the concert. The concert was actually on a Sunday. And then we stayed the night, of course, and then the next morning, I wanted to know about this place a little bit more as far as Wolf Track. And so I called the information number that I found on the internet, on their website. And I talked to this nice young lady, and I was just asking her questions about parking and all that, because Above Average Joe, you know, she's got some health issues and she can't really do a lot of walking. So the person invited us just to come on over. Since we were so close, I told her where we were and we could check things out. So that's what we did. We rode over there and come to find out that it was actually a park ranger that I was talking to. And her name was Lynn, and she was just the bomb. I mean, she hooked us up. I mean, she took us all over that place. She took us down and let us see where our seats were going to be. She showed us the best place to park and told us about, you know, when to get there and, you know, to make sure that we have a good place to park. And she even went so far as to take us on the golf cart ride all around the whole dang park. So she showed us everything back in the woods and there. It was awesome. Just super, super customer service. And, you know, she was enjoying it too, because I mean she was like she had been wanting to check some of the things out anyway, so I think it was mutually beneficial. But that was just a shout out to Lynn. I don't know what her last name is, but she was just awesome and just super great hospitality. And so the thing was, we were there at the park, and it was in the morning. The concert started at 8 o'clock, And we wouldn't be able to get into our seats until 7:30, so we had some time to kill. It was about noon or so. So we went into the town of Vienna, and we got us some lunch and just, you know, dawdled about a little bit. And we got back to the park about 3 o'clock. Well, we had 5 hours till the concert started. Well, we wanted to, I know that that Lynn, the park ranger, said if we got there before 5 o'clock or by 5 o'clock or so, the parking people wouldn't be there, and we could just come right in there and park and no questions asked because there wouldn't be anybody to ask us any questions. And so we just went ahead and went back to the park. And we camped out, not literally camped out, but we hung out in the parking lot from 3 o'clock until about 6:30, which was when we could get into where the concessions and the bathrooms and all were. And it was kind of weird, but, you know, it was, you know, something you don't do very often, and we paid good money for good seats, and so, and we wanted to have good parking, and we didn't really have anything better to do, so we just hung out. We'd crank up the car because it was pretty hot. We'd run it for a little while in air condition, and we'd turn it off and roll the windows down and sweat a little bit. And but we had to use the bathroom, and so we knew there was a bathroom inside of the venue, and so we headed that way just to use. But well, by this time Reba was actually rehearsing. We could hear her, you know, for, you know, because we were probably not even 50 yards from the building, and we started in just to go to the bathroom. Well, we got headed off real quick, you know, which is understandable. You know, she's got security people to, you know, they don't want people coming in and getting a free show, or, you know, could be a security risk of some kind. So, but they were nice. They told us where we could go to the bathroom, and so it was all good. But anyway, the concert was great. Above average Joe, I'm sure she enjoyed it better than I did. I like Reba, but, you know, she's an awesome, awesome woman and just a great personality and very professional, and the way she strutted back and forth on that stage, you know, obvious that she's been doing it for years, and told a little bit about her, you know, where she came from, and it was just real cool. She grew up in Oklahoma, and her dad was a rancher, and he was also a rodeo cowboy, so she was used to doing some traveling because they did stuff like that. But she actually ended up, I think the first time she ever sang was at a rodeo, at least for the public, and that's where it all started. So that was real, just a good experience. So anyway, number again, 914-219-0884. I know I'm just talking about my experience, but if you want to, you know, slip a word in, you're certainly welcome to. And like I said, that concert was promoting Stronger Than the Truth, which is the name of her new album. So that night after the concert, I'd notice people and see people. But when we left the concert, we went to, on our way back to the hotel, just right down the street from the hotel was a Denny's. Well, you know, it was like, I don't know, 10 o'clock or later. And so we pulled into Denny's because we hadn't really had a good dinner because we were sitting in a parking lot all day. And we pulled into Denny's and we went in and sat down, and Above Average Joe went to the restroom. And while she was gone, this other couple came in, and I recognized them. The lady was actually wearing a cap, which is the kind of cap that most women especially will wear when they've had radiation or chemo treatment and they lose their hair, because Above Average Joe's been through that herself. So we I just spoke to them and I said, "Hey guys, weren't y'all at the Reba concert?" And they said, "Yeah, we were." And I said, "Well, you know, I thought so. I said, I remember you because of your hat." And then about that time, Joanne came back, or Above Average Joe, and I told her, and I said, "I remembered her hat." And Above Average Joe says, Yeah, I've had that hat as well. Well, you know, of course, that just the conversation went on, and so I won't tell you all the details, but we made some very nice friends, and they actually were from North Carolina, down in the Kenansville area, I believe, down towards Wilmington, and so that was kind of neat. So, and then we met some other people. We met a lot of people. But let me move on. We're about halfway through here. 914-219-0884 if you want to call in. The next day, we got up and had our breakfast, and we headed to Arlington National Cemetery. And that was something that Above Average Joe wanted to do. And it was something that I wanted to do, but it was nice that it was something. It was really something that was on both of our bucket lists. The Reba thing was more of a Joe Above Average Joe bucket list item, but Arlington National Cemetery, excuse me, was definitely on both our bucket lists. And it was only about it was about 20 minutes away. It really wasn't that far, so we were right there. And so we drove on over, and we had researched it a little bit, and a good buddy of mine, well, you know him on the show here, Above Average Don, or Average Don, or Slightly Average Don, or just plain old Don, B-O-D, he'd been there, and he was telling me about it this past spring, and so, you know, it was kind of on my mind anyway, and it just worked out, you know, that it was close enough that we could go. Arlington National Cemetery is not the largest military cemetery in the country. It's actually the eighth largest. We did learn that. And it has, I believe, 430-some thousand graves. There's an average of 25 funerals a day there. And the day that we were there was no different. There was actually 25 exactly that day. And so it's not just a place to go visit because it's historical. It is an actual working, living part, you know, I don't know if that's the right word to use, cemetery. it's about 624 acres. Above Average Joe and I, we took the tram. They've got a little tram that you can take a tour. It's about an hour or so long, and because it's a lot of cemetery to see, and we really couldn't spend a lot of time there because we were actually had a 4.5-hour drive to our next location, which I'll tell you about. So we just got on the tram, excuse me, and again, you know, because of Above Average Joe, you know, can't do a whole lot of walking, and it was really hot that day, and I probably wouldn't have done too well walking either. I've got problems with my feet. I'm getting old. I'm old, Average Joe. But we got on the tram, and they rode us around, and one of the things, we actually stayed on the tram the whole ride except for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And we stopped, we got off there, and just so happened we got there just in time for the changing of the guard. And in the summertime, they actually do that every 30 minutes, I'm assuming because it's so hot. I mean, I was in civilian clothes, and I was dying. I guess it was a good place to be to do that. And I see these guys in these their Class A's uniforms, and you know the ones that are actually guarding the tomb, and the one that's getting ready to take over for the other, and you know the changing of the guard, and then there's actually the sergeant who's performing the inspection and all that, and these guys are, you couldn't tell that they were uncomfortable at all. I mean, they were just as tight as it can be, and that's their job, and it's their job to be that way. They're there, sit 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Whether it's snowing, hailing, raining, hot, snow. I mean, I said snow. It doesn't matter. They're there. That's what they do. But anyway, as we got there, they were just starting the ceremony, and there were some of the people that were sitting on the steps, and the guy says, you know, during the opening statements, he says, everybody's got to stand up, and they won't hesitate, as I understand it. If anybody's misbehaving or being disrespectful, they'll get on you in a heartbeat. But this was a non-incidental changing of the guard, as it were. That's something everybody needs to see. If you're an American, especially, you need to go there. The whole place. I mean, there was more than we could really, obviously, take in 624 acres in a couple of hours that we were there. But what we did see and the pictures, you know, pictures don't do it justice. You see pictures of all these white grave markers that are all the same, and they go on for a long way. But when you're riding down through and you look, we're on this tram and you look on either side of you, and as far as you can see in both directions, there's rows of these white tombstones, markers. Now, there's other, you know, other markers and that's for certain, like, ships that sank and officers and JFK and Jacqueline are there, and their two babies are there. Other presidents are there. It was the history on briefly. Let's see, it's 624 acres. It was beginning with the Civil War, as well as re-interred dead from earlier wars. The United States Department of the Army, a component of the United States Department of Defense, controls the cemetery. The National Cemetery was established during the Civil War on the grounds of Arlington House, which had been the estate of Confederate General Robert E. Lee's wife, Mary Anna Custis Lee. She was the great-granddaughter of Martha Washington. The cemetery, along with Arlington House, Memorial Drive, the Hemisickle, and the Arlington Memorial Bridge, form the Arlington National Cemetery Historic District listed on the National Register of Historic Places in April 2014. Yeah, so Robert E. Lee actually lived there, and one thing that I had missed, and most of you history buffs, I'm sure, especially Civil War folks will know this, he was actually solicited, as it were, to actually be a general for the Union Army, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't fight his Southern brothers. And so he left there and ended up, of course, you know, fighting and leading the Confederate Army. I guess he didn't mind fighting his Union brothers. I don't know. But one thing, they immediately, when they were burying the troops, they buried some right in the front door of Arlington House, so he could never come back. So let me move on. This in itself could be a subject. This is related to the war. So, you know, I was taking a break on the war subject. And we're going to get back to that. But I just, since I had taken this trip and had, you know, I just wanted to tell you guys about it. We did some cool stuff, and I just thought, I need to talk about this. So there's tons of historic stuff to do around Washington, D.C., and Arlington technically is not in Washington, D.C. It's in Virginia, but it's just right there You can actually see D.C. from there. So, okay, We may talk about that, some more of that later, but I think I've gotten given you a pretty good eagle's eye view of that. 914-219-0884. So the next part of our trip, and this was another surprise for Above Average Joe. I actually had to tell her, because she was wanting, once she knew we were going to be close to Washington, she was wanting to do other stuff and started saying, we got to do this and this. She wanted to go to the White House for one thing. Well, we talked to some people, and you actually have to make plans ahead of time to go to the White House or go in the White House, because you have to send in paperwork and they have to do like a background check. And I think it takes about 2 months to get approved to do that. So we may go back and do that sometime. I always wanted to go to the Smithsonian, particularly the Air and Space Museum. And I mean, I could, if I had the time and the money, I could probably go through the whole thing and, you know, read every little sign. That's just the way I am in a museum. I like to read all the stuff. But let me move on. So I had to tell her about this hotel that I wanted to take her to, and it's called Mountain Lake Lodge, and it's in Pembroke, Virginia. It's about 4.5 hours from where we were, and it is the main location where the movie Dirty Dancing was filmed. Now, most people, and Dirty Dancing is a super popular, iconic movie. It's a chick flick. I mean, you know, I know you guys are out there groaning like, what in the world is he doing talking about Dirty Dancing about? But humor me here. It was shot in 1986, and they had actually started shooting the film in Lake Lure, North Carolina. They still have Dirty Dancing days, I think, at least once or twice a year in Lake Lure. And there's a hotel there, I guess, or two that put on this celebration. But the part at Lake Lure was actually just the parts where the staff, you know, the dancing staff lived, and then where Johnny and all them lived, the little cabins up on the hill. That was actually an abandoned boys' camp. And the building, I believe, that where all the dancing and the stage and the end scene and all that is actually, that building actually burned down. But I digress. When I told Above Average Joe about this place in Pembroke, she was like, I want to go. So, you know, there wasn't any backpedaling at that point, so I hadn't made any reservations or anything, so I didn't know for sure that we could even get in there. But I went ahead and called them after I told her, and we were able to get in and for a couple of nights. And so we drove 4.5 hours to Pembroke, Virginia, and we got there. And it was really cool. it was when we pulled up into the place. Well, you go up this Highway 700, which is like this real curvy mountain road, and at the end of that road is this hotel. And this lodge has been there. This particular building has been there since 1936, I believe. The actual location has had lodges even further back than that. There was actually at least one other building that was replaced by this stone building that you see in the movie. And so we got there and pulled up to the back. They actually kind of funnel you around the back of the building is where you get out and register and get your luggage out. And it's no, you know, most modern hotels, you go walk up to the door and the sliding doors open up for you. Well, this is like a big screen door, like a really big screen door you open and bring in your stuff. And the place is pretty much like it has always been since 1936. And it's definitely pretty much the same as it was when the movie was shot in 1986. They made special attention to keep in the dining room in certain areas. They tried to keep it that way because a lot of people, you know, not unlike ourselves, we went there because of that, you know. But now that we've been there, aside from the fact that the movie was shot there, it's an incredible place. It's really, it's just you don't see places like this anymore. Not often. I mean, I'm sure they're around, but, and I'm not going to get into all the details of all the stuff that we learned about the movie and the shooting of, because they would take another couple of shows. We met a lot of super nice people. This one, Lady Nancy, I don't remember her last name, but she was waiting on her family. So she was there one day without her family. And, she overheard us talking to our waiter for dinner, you know, asking questions about the place and the movie and what was shot where and blah, blah, blah. And so she came over, and she's been coming to this hotel or lodge since before the movie was started. She's been coming there forever, or before the movie was shot. So she was just a wealth of information. And for those of you that are familiar with the movie, the cabin that Baby and her family lived in was just happened to be the cabin that Nancy was staying in. And so she was nice enough to invite us over to look at to come in and look at the cabin. And it's still the way it was then. And it's just kind of cool to go to a place where a movie was shot and look at all the places, especially a movie so iconic as that. But, we're out of time. I didn't expect all of y'all to call in today. I know Mr. Scott's always on the line just to be there. So actually, I'm gonna pull Mr. Scott. I got you on there. I know you didn't have anything to add, but I just wanted to say hello.
That's quite cool. Good to hear from you. Yeah, I had nothing to add to that.
I went to
Tennessee a month ago.
Pardon?
25 miles from here, but that's about the extent of my traveling.
You went to where?
Tennessee, 1 month ago.
Oh, Tennessee.
Yeah. So I've been traveling,
oh, okay,
too. Like 25 miles.
You are.
From
here. Yeah, all 25. Well, you know, by the time we got home, we had driven a little over 900 miles. We put some miles on the fit.
Cool.
So, but anyway, thank you always. Huh?
Sounds good, man. I did see a couple of good pics. It looks like a pretty place.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I highly recommend it. Even if you're not into chick flicks, go there if you ever get a chance. It's like nowhere else you've ever been. I promise
cool.
you, you'll enjoy it.
Sounds good.
Anyway, so next week we're going to get back on track. We're going to probably talk about the Civil War some more. Because we covered, there's so much to talk about the Civil War, but we'll see. We'll see. We may move on. I don't know. I make it up as I go. I shoot from the hip. Make no apologies for it.
There you go.
All right there, Mr. Scott. Well, we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Good to hear you, man. Hang in there.
Oh, you too, man. And thanks for all of you that's listening and listening to the recording. And we'll see you next week. This is Average Joe. I'm out of here.